The Word of God is living and effective, able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. After Jesus had spoken, a Pharisee invited him to dine at his home. He entered and reclined at table to eat. The Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not observe the prescribed washing before the meal. The Lord said to him, "O you Pharisee, although you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, inside you are filled with plunder and evil. You fools, did not the maker of the outside also make the inside? But as to what is within, give alms, and behold, everything will be clean for you." The Gospel of the Lord. In today's Gospel from Luke chapter 11, as well as in the parallel text from Matthew chapter 23, Jesus levels his harshest invectives and criticisms toward the scribes and the Pharisees. I would like to give you some context for Jesus' tough love, because it seems so out of character for the meek, mild, merciful Jesus, who always welcomes sinners and is eager to forgive them. What's going on here? Let me make two contextual comments about Jesus' words of woe in Luke chapter 11. The first is the Old Testament background of Isaiah. And the second comment is to suggest Jesus is not being less loving to the scribes and the Pharisees, but actually more loving to them. It is tough love. First, the Old Testament background for Jesus' words of woe is Isaiah's prophecy that leveled five woes against Israel and Judah. And by the way, we started the Bible study on the Gospel of Mark that I'm helping to lead last night, and we had about 35 people show up for the Bible study. It was great. I even gave them a quiz at the end, so probably only five will show up for the next class. But one point becomes quickly clear whenever you break open the Word of God, the Bible. You cannot understand the New Testament without knowing the Old Testament. Whenever Jesus says or does something in the Gospels, he is highly cognizant that he is fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament. He never acts arbitrarily or accidentally like you and I do all the time. So here in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is imitating Isaiah by calling out the Jewish leadership for their superficial holiness, like ritual hand washing, but their deeper corruption of hypocrisy in the heart. Jesus is the final prophet and the fulfillment of the prophetic line. But Jesus does more than that. Do you recall when Isaiah preached and prophesied? It was the mid-8th century BC, the mid-700s BC, right before the Assyrians invaded the northern kingdom of Israel in 722 BC and dispersed the 10 tribes of the north all over the world, called the diaspora, the dispersion of the Jews. What would happen 40 years after Jesus preaching in Jerusalem? The Roman armies under General Titus would invade and destroy Jerusalem, destroying the temple and killing 1.2 million Jews in 70 AD. In other words, Jesus' woes were not empty threats, just like Isaiah's words were not empty threats. The Catechism of the Catholic Church explains how the Old Testament sheds light on the New Testament, especially in illuminating the person of Jesus, like a spotlight on the lead actor on stage, through something called typology. Typology. We read in number 128 of the Catechism, "The Church has illuminated the unity of the divine plan in the two testaments through typology, which discerns in God's works of the old covenant prefigurations of what he accomplished in the fullness of time in the person of his incarnate son." Incidentally, typology was one of the questions on the quiz last night at the Bible study. In other words, when you read Isaiah and the rest of the whole Old Testament, keep in mind, all of it is like a huge, holy spotlight pointing straight at Jesus. Do you think Jesus knows the spotlight is on him? You betcha. Jesus knows that the whole Old Testament spotlight shines on him, and that is why he levels his woes against the scribes and the Pharisees in Luke 11 and Matthew 23, in imitation of Isaiah. The second contextual comment concerns what parents do in raising their children. Maybe you can relate. If you have more than one child, which one are parents typically the toughest on? From whom do you expect more and hold to a higher standard among all your children? Is it the youngest child? Or is it the oldest and the firstborn child? Have you ever heard a mother or father say to their oldest son or daughter, "Hey, look, you need to set a good example for your little brothers and sisters"? Yeah, I think so. You know, I'm so glad I have an older brother, so my parents left me alone to wallow in my wickedness. Well, the people of the whole world are the children of God, but Israel is God's firstborn son, in a sense. And therefore, God holds Israel to a higher standard so they can be an example to the nations on how to walk in God's ways. Who do you discipline more, your own children or the neighbor's kids? Obviously, you discipline your own children. Why? Because you love them and you want the best for them. That's the same spirit in which we should read Jesus' woes in Luke chapter 11. Not as a lack of love, but on the contrary, a sign of the deepest love. When you really love someone, you care enough to correct them. When you read the Bible and come across confusing passages, keep these two tools of Bible interpretation handy: typology and tough love. Then Jesus' words and actions will make a little more sense and also explain what he expects from us. Praised be Jesus Christ.